John 8:31 through 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Your hands are blistered to the point of bleeding. The heat is unbearable, one of the hottest days. And as you look ahead at the row in front of you, the row of cotton that you've been asked to pick and forced to pick, it looks like it's unending. The chains that shackle your feet begin to dig into your ankles, and you're in pain in every part of your body. In the row next to you, there lies a body of a fellow slave, exhausted. A few rows over is the body of another slave, dead. And the slave master doesn't care. Work goes on as the body lies in the field. This institution of slavery is oppressive. It's burdensome. It's awful. And this is the life that you know. It's the life that you were born into. It's all you've known. And this is the life that you know, living under the law. Living under the law of trying to be right. Trying to get yourself right with God. And this is life as you know it on the plantation of works. And the slave master drives you hard in your labor. He screams his commands at you with anger in his voice and terror in his face. "You shall not. You shall not. How dare you?" he screams at you. And he places his burdens on your workload and assigns you the longest and the toughest rows to take care of and the most difficult part of the field. And he yells at you, "You shall be holy. Be perfect." And you can't keep up. And you're given nothing but tattered slave clothing to wear. They stink in the heat and the sweat. It's filthy rags. And he snaps the whip of his justice on your back and opens up a new wound as he yells at you, "The wages of sin is death. The one who sins will die." And the slave master in your row turns to those further over that are driving other slaves and yells out to them and laughs in mockery and says about you and all of those around you, "There's no one righteous, not even one. All have turned aside and together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one." But suddenly, right across the fence from the field, you've noticed that a new house has been constructed. A new house has been built. And it looks so refreshing. And it looks so peaceful. It's a red house, and the children that are playing in the front yard seem so happy. And everybody that's been going in and out of that house seems like they're just enjoying life and have no problems. And you've seen the man in the yard who owns the house and had it built, and he seems so tender-hearted and merciful and kind and benevolent. And now today, as you work in your horrible row, you can hear him from the front door, and he's directed his comments to you, and he's calling to you from the front door of his brand new red house. And he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he yells out to you that, in case you didn't know it, the emancipation has come. The slaves have been declared free. The highest authority in the land, heaven itself, has declared emancipation. Your slave master no longer has any hold on you, no legal right to control you, no legal right to make you work. And you look at the beautiful red house that he has. The red house of the Word of God, God's own truth of His Word, painted red with the blood of Christ, this peaceful home, stained with our Lord's very own blood from the cross. And here in that yard, across the fence from the field you're in, here in that yard, there's no labor, there's no work. It's nothing but pleasure and joy and peace and happiness. And the home is large and it's safe and it's secure. And the man at the front door calls out to you and says, "Come, come and live in my house. Abide here. Come to my word of the gospel. Abide here, inside, safe, painted with the blood of Christ." And this owner sends out other occupants from the house to go out to the edge of the fence and to call to the slaves in the field. And those workers have come out with their voices to plead with us. And we stand there at the fence even today, pleading and yelling to the slaves in the field, "Run to the house. Drop your bag. Drop the shackles. Run as fast as you can. Jump the fence. Get in this yard. Come to the house where you will be safe and you will be secure and where your sins are forgiven. Don't look back to the field. Don't look back to the slave master who wants to drive you and work you hard. Come to the house. Come where there is freedom. Come where there is peace and joy. And inside of the house, as you come in, there's a banquet, the feast of salvation, being fed with your Lord's very body and blood. You made it. Now stay in the house. Abide in the house. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen." Today in our prayers, we have a special prayer request on behalf of the family of Drew and Sharon Buck. Drew Buck is the head volleyball coach at MLC. He was just here on our campus Wednesday night. And just yesterday, they learned the tragic news that their son, Russell, age 24, was killed in an automobile accident in Maine. And we'd like to keep them in our prayers. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your gracious invitation, we come before you on behalf of the family of Drew and Sharon Buck. Strengthen them in this time of sadness through the security which comes only through your word. Comfort them with the knowledge of the great reunion in heaven which you have secured for all those who you have called by faith. And teach us, even in our youth, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We ask it all in the name of Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen.